Well, the when is the easy part. He actually set his own deadline by October 1st. The how? Well, that's a little more difficult question to answer. Baker offered some details yesterday during his monthly call with reporters on VA's data breach report to Congress.
The main approach is going to be to allow those devices to view information through our applications from inside the VA as well as from external sources. So an authenticated user with one of those devices being able to access, for example, Vista information, but not store it on the device. And that'll be the predominant approach, pretty much call it using the device as a thin client.
Now, he also is considering a second approach, and this is actually based on a pilot VA is in the middle of. It's part of their Innovations Award. It's where an application will reside on the device, and the user can actually see information and actually store information on the device. Now, Baker says he views that October 1st deadline that he set for himself as the Oklahoma Land Rush Day from 1899, where there's the first day employees will be able to go and get their devices, put them on the network. He thinks there'll be a lot of interest. But between now and then, VA must decide whether employees will be given a device from the agency or if they'll be able to use their own device under specific terms and conditions.
There's part of me that is leaning the direction that Vivek talked about 3 or 4 months ago to say, you know, I'm not buying them, but if as a user you want to bring yours in, sign a piece of paper that says that we can monitor the software on it and what you're using on it, then we may give you access from your personal device onto the system. If facilities decide to issue their clinicians those type of devices, would allow them to access. And it's possible that we would have a large-scale acquisition of those kind of devices, but those things can be a lot more problematic. And it may well be that as fast as these devices move, that by the time we were able to get a contract awarded, it would be time for the next generation.
And Jason, the security question always comes up first. How is VA going to solve the big security questions about hooking up all these, I guess you'd call them mongrel devices, on their network?
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge issue, not just for VA, but I think every agency is wrestling with. And VA, in fact, you know, probably has somewhat of a bigger concern in many ways because of that 2006 data breach where 26 million veterans' information was put out in the public and the scrutiny they've been under ever since. Baker says there are certain requirements for smartphones to connect to their network.
We will have two abilities. One is when the device connects to the network, we will review the software on it and verify there's nothing we believe to be a threat before we allow connectivity. And then we will also have it set so that if the device is lost, we can wipe it clean.
Now, one thing about this effort that's clear, Baker and VA will not compromise on security. There are several companies out there that are being tested pretty widely across government, something called Good Technologies, another one called LRW Technologies, and there's many others that are really trying to put security into these mobile devices. Baker also says there'll be an initial list of devices that can connect to the network, and over time they'll be expanded, but they're going to start with some specific ones. And if you look at what other agencies are doing, and specifically the Defense Department, they're issuing specific security standards with requirements such as to turn off the Wi-Fi or the Bluetooth, as well as kind of limiting or shutting down other features that they believe are security potential or the risk is too high. So I think VA is going to head down that similar path as well.
What about the path of policy? Is VA following other agencies in developing mobile computing policies?
Absolutely, and I think that's a trend we're seeing among agencies. The Environmental Protection Agency, the Justice Department, or two others that I know of that are putting out or recently issued draft mobile computing policies. Baker says the effort that's leading up to October 1st in many ways will finalize VA's current mobile computing policy.
There's one in play relative to approved mobile devices, but where we're at right now is that the only approved mobile device is a BlackBerry. Moving forward, this will open it up. We know that what we're doing has to be generic, you know, around a variety of mobile devices for access. We put a lot of work into the virtual access approach. For example, I believe about 30 days ago, we turned on enterprise-wide the ability to just view information, not have to have a heavyweight client on the other end. And it's more that type of policy. You have to view mobile devices much the way you do anything else that's not government-furnished equipment that you can't take complete control over.
So, I mean, the goal here is to give the employees the ability to use their devices or use the VA-furnished devices, but they have to be limited. It has to be they can only do certain things. So I think there's several steps that VA has got to figure out between now and October 1st.
Now, Jason, Roger Baker cited Vivek Kundra, the departing federal CIO, in talking about this new way of approaching the devices people use. But who pays the monthly data fees, and how are – and if employees bring their own plans that would go with those devices, do they have to file for reimbursement every month? So you talk about that whole problem there, and I wonder what effect that would have on the network's contract.
Right. He did not talk about that issue, but I think that's a big issue because you're right. It starts the same issue that for instance, when teleworking was getting started, does the agency come in and hook up your DSL line or your internet connection line, or does it use your home computer and you pay for it all yourself and you ask for a reimbursement? So that's actually a great question that, in all honesty, I don't think the reporters brought up during the press conference yesterday and that Roger didn't touch upon. And I imagine something he will have to figure out between now and October 1st.
And I was thinking, too, that maybe this is the way to go in the future. I mean, look at everyone's always talking about the new generation of people coming into government. Well, if any of them went to college, and almost everyone that enters federal service did go to college, you are expected to bring your own PC or Mac. That's one of the major investments besides college itself that people have to make to be able to get through college. And there's standards and networks, and you can download software from most colleges and universities, their version of whatever suite you need. But you got to bring your own machine. It's not like giving people a desk.
And I think that's something that VA is going to wrestle with because part of the reason why VA is going down this path is because Roger's already seen that doctors and nurses are bringing their own mobile devices into the hospitals, into the clinics, and they want to use them. He offered, these monthly data breach calls are very interesting for several reasons. They talk about what cybersecurity problems VA's faced over the last month. But they also show that if this is where this idea of bringing your own mobile devices or letting doctors and nurses use smartphones devices comes in. He said, we've had many instances where doctors and nurses have been saving information on, online calendars, Yahoo, Google, Microsoft, and they've had to shut it down. And basically he's realizing if we don't do something, they're going to just go around me. And that's the whole idea of the CIO no versus the CIO yes. He wants to be able to say, I want to make it easier, I want to make it work so it works for them because it meets their expectations, but it also meets our security expectations.
Actually, Jason, you just anticipated my next question, and that was, when we saw him, you and I were both at the Management of Change Conference, and he touched on this as he was dropping hints that this may be coming down the pipe, and he had even said then that if the agency doesn't allow it, it's going to happen anyway because people tend to be innovative and have ideas of their own and, independent thought, and that they might as well allow it. But this way, they can attach a policy to it and allow it with parameters so that instead of it being the Wild West out there, they can craft it to the agency's needs.
And I think that every agency is going to face that same issue. I mean, especially as these devices become more and more – they're become more useful. I mean, even Roger Baker said yesterday – listen, these are like cheaper than computers. These are doing almost the same thing as a laptop. We just have to move in that direction. And I think, you guys use the newscast segment from IAC and Axe at the mobile computing. Rick Holgate at ATF is another one that's all way out there. And I just actually spoke with Sandy Peavy over from the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center recently. And she's talking about using an iPad pilot to figure out how can we make it work. I think what we're seeing across government is this push because they're responding to what their employees want. And I think they're saying, okay, if we don't do this, the employees are going to do it anyways, so let's make sure we do it right and meet those employees' expectations.
Federal News Radio's Jason Miller, thanks very much for that update.
Thank you.